Good morning, 6:37 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. By request, by the way, from our county administrator, Janice Gilley. That's a great song to get us going in the morning. She joins us by phone now. Janice, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Great to have you. So, There's a lot of very interesting things happening. One is the Equestrian Center today has a state testing facility. And you tell me, if I heard your conversation with Commissioner Burgosh and Eric Gilmore yesterday, is that going to be the COVID mobile? Is that going to be the bus today at the Equestrian Center?
It is. It'll be there today. And then I believe tomorrow we've got it worked out where they can go to the PSC Warrington campus.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be from 9 to 1. And it is from the state, and they have been traveling the state with it. And as you know, Eric is stationed over in Tallahassee right now. And he said, hey, we'd like to have that bus come our direction. And so that's a benefit of having a staff person embed in the state EOC
this week. Isn't that funny how sometimes it's just being in the right place to ask the question? You know, because I thought that since the beginning, like, we'll take it. We need the COVID mobile here. So it's going to be at the Equestrian Center today. And that is a rapid PCR test, 45 minutes, maybe as much as a day. But, you know, it's supposed to be within an hour for a lot of those 250 people. And then tomorrow at PSC Warrington Camp. That's fantastic. I'm just excited that it's in town. We're also, and he kind of gave this up yesterday, that the UWF site, we are actually going to be adding an antibody testing lane. Is that right?
Correct. They'll be adding antibody. Now, they are starting, they are also having priority for folks that are symptomatic and folks over the age of 65.
All right, very good. That's all very good news. So, you know, it's good to hear that yesterday. Now, one of the things that continually, I hear questions about this, and I know you get questions about this. What is the current masking policy at the Escambia County, for Escambia County employees at your facilities? And I know it may be different at different facilities like the EOC versus somewhere else, but what is the current policy?
So I've encouraged all of our directors to stay vigilant from the beginning. One of the things that we've done is to make sure that we look out for our more vulnerable employees or anyone that, you know, feels like because of their age they have issues. But one of the things that we've really emphasized is that if you cannot physically distance either from other employees or from the public, that you wear a mask. So if you are in the break room, for example, and there are a number of you and you cannot physically distance, that you would wear a mask, you know, if you're heating up your lunch or something. And then, like at the center, the COC, which is where most people would go to do building permits, development review, you know, maps, things like that, what we're doing is we are requesting that the public wear a mask when they come in. We'll have mask and hand sanitizer there available at the front. We already had about a 90-95% compliance rate already in that facility, but we're going to go on and put up posters so that folks can know that we are requesting that you wear the mask. And at the animal shelter, same thing. Our staff was already wearing masks when they were in contact with the public, but we are requesting that the public wear them there. At the libraries, we're going to also be requesting that individuals come in and wear masks. And like I said, in most of our locations, the public and our staff were already doing that, but we're just going to put posters up to reemphasize that. At ECAT, all of the staff will be wearing masks in the building and on the buses. Because they don't have as much room in their break room and other places to socially distance.
Got it.
And then, as you know, community centers, we've already been taking temperatures and having the staff wear masks at the community center. So, you know, for the most part, it's wear a mask, and especially if you can't physically distance.
And I will tell you from personal experience that when you try to go to the library is, in my opinion, so far the most restrictive environment I have encountered. I mean, like, you have to, you know, you have to really prove that you're supposed to be inside, you know, and they kind of have to go through a process just to even get in if you're going to do something. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying it's definitely, they are very heavily controlling the environment, which is appropriate. You know, it makes sense to me. Yeah, and something that
the stacks, you know, walking through the stacks. I know that's still been a frustration.
Yeah.
But, you know, until we know for sure as much as we can about how long the virus stays on contact, you know, surfaces, they're still just being extremely careful.
Right. Absolutely. And quarantining materials and all that, which is frustrating, but is prudent given the circumstances. And you guys also have these heat cameras basically that are you know, uh-huh. checking everybody that's coming in, and it will alert you that when somebody's got a temperature, you know that, and you can find them and, you know, and make sure that they're not in the facility. I mean, so that's now, is that at also all county facilities, just some of the facilities?
It's not at all county facilities yet. As I'm sure you're aware, there was kind of a back order for a while. We did get five, particularly for the jail, and we're hoping to have those set up in the next couple of days so that as inmates walk through the halls or as they walk through their pods, we're able to monitor. So right now our nurses and our medical staff have to physically go in and, you know, take everyone's temperature. But I think it would be more helpful to the inmates. I mean, they can just walk up to the infrared camera if anyone feels like they're having any issues, and we can know immediately. So I think that'll be a little bit more of a service that we can provide to our inmates by, you know, being able to more readily test them, because it does appear that the low-grade fever is one of the things that, you know, is one of the first symptoms that you can start detecting, and then we can, we're able to remove that inmate, put them in the infirmary.
Right, and so, early warning before people are going to be too contagious is that's a great way to handle mm-hmm. it. I wanted to ask you, it's my understanding that the agenda that's going to be on today does not yet have an item for the masks, even though County Attorney Rogers had put out a couple of different options. Is that true that they could add it, but at the moment nobody has actually requested that that item be added today? Is that right?
Correct, but we do go into agenda review at 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so anything could change at that time. Can I just put a request in? This is maybe a small thing, but as a citizen, uh-huh. one of the things that I find frustrating is when items are added on, there is very little
yep.
revelation about what the item is, and finding information about it, even if you know something has been added, finding out what that item is by the time the night meeting comes around is difficult. Mm-hmm. So it is.
And so this system is unfortunately an antiquated system, but the good news is we are moving to a more progressive system, so that when we have information added, it's added in immediately.
You know, great.
Sometimes you find where you've made a Scribner's error, or like you said, sometimes you have to add on backup documentation. So we're hoping to get to that new system. The other thing we're looking to do is to make our agenda items more robust in terms of the information that we provide.
Awesome.
Right now, the information that the public sees is, you can still go to the link and see the backup material that was originally posted, but it's still very convoluted in the way that you have to get to all that. And so we're working on bringing in a new system that I think will provide a better citizen viewing, and it will also provide more information, because we're going to revamp the way we actually do our recommendations.
Oh, great.
So I'm hoping it'll be helpful, but any feedback that you have, I would love to have, or if any of the citizens have feedback, we'd love to get that on what information they'd like to see, because that our goal is to make sure that everyone that looks at our agendas gets the information that they need.
Yeah, and I will tell you just sort of the, think about it from a layman's point of view of, I know something or I think something might be on the agenda, but I got to wade through all this technical jargon to figure out where my item is or even if it's on there. The more plain language it can be, I think, the more useful. But I know you know that already, so that's really encouraging. We're talking to Janice Gilley. She is the Escambia County Administrator. Janice, one of the items I saw on the agenda for today has to do with the prohibition of parking anywhere on Perdido Key Drive from the Bars Bridge all the way over to the Alabama state line. Pardon my ignorance, but we've already got signs up. I thought this was already prohibited. I was confused when I saw the item.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so this is a clarification. Currently, we can put signs up and we can ask you to not park there, but we don't have any way to enforce it necessarily.
Hmm.
So when you pass a parking resolution, you now have the ability for code enforcement and others to more strongly enforce that particular parking prohibition.
Okay.
And I just would say that, you know, anyone that travels out to Perdido Key, you know how narrow the right-of-way is there.
Yeah.
And it really isn't safe for people to park, not only on the right-of-way, but also in that habitat. And that means you force anyone that's running, walking, or biking they don't have anywhere to vacate the road, you know, with traffic. And as we all know, it's a very heavily traveled road.
Absolutely. So, yeah, that's interesting. I didn't realize that the, you know, the actual enforcement capability had not been on the books just yet. Anything else on the meeting this morning that you think people would particularly be interested in knowing is going to be discussed?
So University of West Florida has brought their reopening plan for the commissioners to be aware of, and they're part of written communication, and I expect them to make some comments this morning. It's an extremely elaborate program, and I think they've done an excellent job. You know, as anyone who has sent their kids off to college, you know, you want your kids to be safe, and I can't imagine that a parent would not feel safe with the plan that UWF has put forward.
Very good. So, again, there's an agenda review at 9 o'clock. The regular meeting is at 5:30. The public comment starts at 4:30. And, Janice, I know sometimes you like to ask me a question, but I don't know in advance. Did you have one for me today or no?
I do.
Oh, all right. Well, hit me with it. Let's see.
Well, I had a couple, but one of them is, all right, so all the conspiracy theories are starting to blow up over, pardon the pun, in the Lebanon incident. So, accident or on purpose?
Oh, I think accident. If it had been on purpose, I don't think you would have had a first, you know, explosion somewhere nearby. I mean, obviously you're very suspicious, you know, in that part of the world for something like this, but, I just think this was a catastrophe waiting to happen. Oh my God, people have been sending letters, like officials who oversee parts of the port have been sending letters to other officials who have the ability to actually change things, that this was a dangerous situation for like 3 or 4 years. Numerous times,
and
nobody did anything. It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, unbelievable. Well, very good.
Well, second question was,
all right, yeah, go ahead.
If they don't do NCAA D2 championships, does UWF get to be football champions forever?
at least for the next year, right? I mean, at least, right? No, as a completely neutral, objective observer, I would have to say that that is a fair plan. Yeah, absolutely. Janice Gillis, she is the Escambia County Administrator. Janice, we always appreciate the time and your work, which, as you jokingly say, nobody else wants to do. But we're glad that you're doing it. Thanks so much for the time this morning.
Thank you. Y'all take care.